you have to use every opportunity that you have at the machine to be a an opportunity for you to overcome your nerves. The challenge, of course, is that trying to mimic your state's examination or the National Court Reporter's RPR exam in a classroom situation becomes quite a challenge. So, you know, test anxiety. You know, there's several schools of thought. I'll touch on a couple of thoughts about test anxiety. One is get over it. I don't think that's particularly helpful advice. I've heard a lot of people say that to students throughout the years. Look, you have to deal with it. There is obviously, you know, that's the pure unvarnished truth. You have to get over it. But that's not very practical advice. It doesn't really tell you how you go about getting over test anxiety. And I'm not sure that I can wave a magic wand over your forehead or, you know, email you something that, or tell you something right now that is going to be the one magic thing that helps you overcome test anxiety. But there's some very obvious stuff that goes on, and, you know, one way to be relaxed is obviously to be prepared. There's no doubt that the person who is prepared for any challenge, even, you know, not a writing challenge on the machine, but the person who's prepared for a challenge is obviously going to be more relaxed and ready and able to deal with the anxiety that the situation presents. I guess the best way to put that is that the anxiety level is much lower when you are prepared to deal with the issue itself. So obviously we're going to talk this evening a bit about practice techniques. Those to me are the most important things that I can impart to students is information about how to practice and what to practice, because I find that test anxiety tends to disappear when your fingers are writing everything that hits your ears. The secret to successful writing is to have written everything that you are going to hear and that you are currently hearing, to have written it hundreds and thousands of times perfectly prior to that dictation situation. And at that point, if your fingers are prepared, you'll find your mind wandering. I get questions, what do? My mind wanders, I trail, I catch right up, I do that. You know what? All those other questions go away when your fingers simply write the material, when they are prepared to write the material, and they do. I've always told students that your mind wandering is not a bad thing. That just simply means that your fingers don't need any input from your brain. That's a good thing, and not something that you should try to fight. I've also found that a lot of times people say, well, I find my mind wandering, and then I get snapped back into it, and then all of a sudden I'm right there trying real hard to get back going. And I think what they're missing out on is that generally your mind is wandering because your fingers don't need any input from your mind, and your mind being the powerful computer that it is, it will begin to think of other things, the grocery list, the kids need to be picked up from school, what are we doing this weekend, all those things going on while your fingers are writing. And the time that your mind is snapped back into the situation is the moment when your fingers are calling out to you saying, uh-oh, I may not know this outline as well as any other. So there's a lot of, I think, validity to that kind of thinking, that this is not about relax, relax, relax. I've always felt like a doctor or a nurse shouting at a blood pressure patient, you know, you've got to relax or you're going to kill yourself. It just doesn't work as a piece of advice, I wouldn't think. It's something that happens from being prepared for the situation that you're going to deal with.